Then I will share for 10 to 15 minutes, followed by open sharing. Again, the topic for this special focus session is suiting up and showing up. The following is a reading from For Today, December 10th, 2015, page 345. As we repeatedly act on step 10, we begin to see the remarkable way the steps will, from now on, continue to remove unnecessary turmoil and pain from our lives. More gifts are in store for us as we continue working the program and experiencing the miracle of permanent recovery one day at a time. From the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, page 80 to 90. Ours is a disease of attitudes. However, the years I've spent in OA have shown me that although my disease is progressive, so is my recovery. When I was active in my eating disorder, I hated everything about my life. My world consisted of binges, blame, fear, shame, jealousy, and rage. I was imprisoned by unrealistic expectations of people, bitterly resenting their imperfections. I also hated myself because I couldn't stop eating. Negativity breeds hopelessness, and I was trapped. Recovery teaches me that my gratitude and serenity snowball, just like my negative attitudes did. As I work the 12 steps of this program, it becomes fulfilling to focus on the good in my life. It doesn't always come easily. Sometimes I struggle to think positively, but when my attitudes slip, I know there's hope. Now my world consists of daily miracles, both large and small, that keep the light in my eyes and lightness in my heart. Positive thinking breeds acceptance, and today I am free. I will now share my experience, strength, and hope on the topic. You'll time for me? Can I get 5, 5, and 5? Thanks. Hi, my name is Monica, and I'm a compulsive eater and restrictor. Hi. And I was told that I have to talk into the microphone because they're recording it. This is not for fun. I'm just going to say a prayer very quickly. God, please speak through me. I get very nervous when I have to lead. I'm actually not as nervous right now, which makes me nervous. But I trust you guys to be with me through it. And I will start off by saying I was in a meeting this morning for another fellowship, and someone was sharing that his sponsor had told him that the difference between faith and trust is faith is when you're watching a tightrope walker, you believe he can push the wheelbarrow across the tightrope, and trust is getting in the wheelbarrow. And that's how I feel. The trust is that, I have faith that God can carry me through this lead and help me to say something that will be of service. The trust is just showing up, suiting up and showing up and, letting that happen. And when I agreed to lead this meeting, I was given a few topics that I could lead. And I was like, oh, suiting up and showing up. If I'm there and if I'm wearing clothes, we've covered the bases. So, you're welcome, guys. I'm going to start by passing out a couple pictures. I don't know if people are doing this at the birthday party or not, but for me, this is part of my act of showing up and my practice of showing up. My story is not incredibly dramatic. The pictures are not incredibly dramatic, but I do live in both sides of this disease, the restricting and the overeating. And for me, this is just owning my story. When I was asked to lead a meeting about a year ago, I had a lot of reluctance, first of all, which so it's recovery for me just to be here speaking. But my dad sent me an email a week prior, very randomly, about this tiger sanctuary in Thailand. I don't know why, but it was really cool that he sent it. And as it happened, I had been there, and I got really excited. I wanted to respond and send him a picture, but I didn't because I knew what I looked like in the picture, and I knew that I wasn't comfortable in my body, and I didn't trust that he wouldn't say something hurtful about that. And that's what this disease does to me. It keeps me shut down. It keeps me quiet. It keeps me from showing up in my life and owning my experiences. So that's what that's about. And I think the topic is so interesting to me because suiting up and showing up has meant so many things over the course of my life and of my recovery. At its basis, I think it just means doing the best you can in any given moment. And that's what I'm doing on the planet. And that's what I think most of us are just trying to do on the planet. And the reality of my story is that my disease was a version of helping me to show up in my life for a really long time. I came from a family I now understand were a number of addicts on my dad's side of the family. I always understood that there were a lot of Italians on my mom's side of the family. So it was noisy and there was a lot of food and there was a lot of chaos. And I don't think that I was born with this disease, but I think that I was either born with or very early on came into an unmanageable amount of fear and shame. And it just happened that I figured out that eating and restricting and exercising and trying to manage all of those things made those uncomfortable feelings bearable. And thank God for it. They talk about being a grateful compulsive eater or whatever your disease is. And for me, my brother found heroin and it killed him by the time he was 27. So I really have like a light shining on the like there, but for the grace of God go I. This disease carried me through a lot of years. And it, you know, I spent a lot of time in the pendulum of it. So like I was either restricting and compulsively exercising or I was compulsively eating and being a sloth. And that's kind of how I got through high school. I got through school. I was a competitive figure skater through high school. It carried me through that and college and traveling and master's program. And it works until it doesn't work. But what the disease did for me was it allowed me to show up and be in the world in a way that I don't know I would have been able to do without some sort of crutch. And it stopped working. I moved out to LA many years ago, and within 6 months or 9 months of being here, I was in the compulsive eating side of the disease at the time, and I was done. You know, it kind of the pendulum for me was I would restrict and compulsively exercise to get as small as I could because I always wanted to be smaller and different than I was. And eventually my will and my body and all of the things that you need to do to keep doing that would give out. And so it would send the pendulum swinging back and I would do the backswing for as long as it took for me to hate myself enough to will my way back. And it got stronger and more extreme every time I did it and I was conscious of it. Thank you. And the last time that I kind of battled with it was I got into a commercial weight loss program, which I had never done in my life. I had so much shame around the word diet and even admitting that I was uncomfortable with anything about my appearance. But I did it, and it worked really well. And it sent me into the longest and most restrictive period of this disease for me. And I knew the whole time I was doing it that I have to keep the pendulum on the upswing because if I don't, when it swings back, it's going to be worse than ever, and I don't have it in me to do this again. And I was able to, like, keep that going for about 5 years, and I was not well. And then the numbers started creeping up again, and I saw it happening, and I got myself to a nutritionist, and I got myself training for a marathon, and I did all the things that I thought I could do to manage it, and as we all see where this is going to end, I learned that the problem was bigger than the food. And so outside help was suggested to me. I wasn't ready to get into therapy yet, although I knew I needed it. So I got to an OA meeting. And I don't know how I knew about it. I just knew it existed. But I got to my first meeting, and I didn't like it. it was a room full of people I didn't relate to. And I did not hear, in the words I would use now, a lot of recovery. I didn't see it and I didn't hear it. What I did hear was keep coming back. I heard go to at least 6 meetings before you decide if this program is right for you. And that's what I did. And so I went to another meeting the next morning and I, at some point very early on, heard the idea of 30 meetings in 30 days and that's what I could do. I could show up in the rooms and I could say nothing and I could just be here and let your wisdom wash over me. And so I did a lot of meetings my first year. I did a 90 and 90, and then that worked for me, so I did another one over the course of my first year. So I just was in the rooms, and I heard you guys talk about this book. So I got one, and I started reading it. I read, you know, a handful of pages every night, and I got through the big book pretty quickly, so I had that in me. And then I got a sponsor, and I started working the steps, and I worked them as honestly as I could, which was pretty honest. But I was not emotionally attached to that process at all. And that is fine. Like, it was fine because that's what I needed at the time. I needed to just be able to be honest. I didn't have to go through endure the discomfort of that yet. It just wasn't part of my story. And so I got through in my first 9 months of program through my 8th step. And I was really cobbling together abstinence. I got 30 days and I lost it and I got 90 days and I lost it and I got almost 6 months and then I lost it. And at that point I realized that I had never actually been abstinent. I had been abstinent from the compulsive eating, but I was actively in the restricting phase of this disease when I was working my steps. And so I was in relapse, which is what I called it. And I wanted to switch sponsors. But I didn't want to switch sponsors because I assumed if I got a new sponsor, she would make me start the steps over, and I was just going to power through to 12 and, like, be – and also the year, incidentally, was 2012, so I was like, this is God's plan for me. I'm just going to get through all 12 steps, and it's going to be great. And what happened is God did for me what I couldn't do myself. He moved my sponsor to Thailand, And he put a new sponsor in my path who was had what I wanted in so many different ways. Specifically, she was and is the most spiritually oriented, spiritually connected person that I know. And also, she is exceptionally good at showing up and at being rigorously honest. And that's what I needed next in my program. And so because I was in relapse, she did have me start my steps over. And I will tell you honestly, it's the best thing I've done in my program so far. I got to see when I was doing the steps again that ultimately the level of honesty and the amount of uncovering I did was very similar to the first time I did the steps. The emotional connection to it was very different. And it partly was due to my relationship with my sponsor. She had been a friend of mine, and that we grew closer over the course of that. And because I was connected to her, I was able to access things in a way that I hadn't before. That's probably not what everyone needs, but for me it was a way to dig deeper that I couldn't before that. And so I have recently turned over my eighth step again for the second time, and now getting into nine. And talk about, like, suiting up and showing up. I haven't yet made an amends. I have made an attempt at an amends, which is a longer story. But I think the core of that is just really putting on your big girl pants and getting honest with yourself and with your sponsor and with your part in something, and then showing up and apologizing for it and meaning it. So what showing up for me now looks like is really different. Thank you. I'm struggling. I'm being challenged a lot to be more present with myself and with others. And what that looks like is taking a breath and checking in and seeing what I actually feel in a given moment or what's actually going on with me. It's very challenging for me to, I feel like my brain blanks out. And so if someone asks me, how are you or what's going on, other than a surface level, I sort of throw everything out the window. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on with you. That's comfortable for me. And so the practice now is to get into the space of actually asking myself that question and owning that, like, I deserve the 2 minutes it takes to get there sometimes. And one of the biggest gifts that you guys have given me in these rooms is one, the example of how to do that, and two, the safe space to practice it. I've learned so much from watching you guys, and it's kind of impossible for me to lead a meeting recently without just pitching this fellowship hardcore and the community, because more than anything else, that's the thing that fills me up from this program, the people here. I was reading an article the other day about addiction, and the sort of thesis of the article was the opposite of addiction is not sobriety, the opposite of addiction is connection. And I was like, I don't know if that resonates for everyone. For me, that resonates really deeply. And for me, the eating disorder was a way to fill in the space that was created from the lack of intimate connection. And so I will practice now a little bit getting more current and a little more honest. What has been coming up for me lately is what I've been calling a slow speed identity crisis over the past year. And it occurred to me only recently, later than I would have liked, that it might not be a crisis. It might only be a crisis because that's the word I'm choosing to use for it. But it might be an opportunity to just sit and let more be revealed. I don't really know who I am if you asked me in a few sentences to tell you. I identify very strongly with a family and with a group. Right now, one of those families and groups happens to be this program, which is a miracle. But also, if you pluck me out of it, I feel lost. I feel like I don't know what I am. I don't feel like I don't know where I'm tethered. And that's really scary. And as someone who I'm a writer, it really sort of shakes my faith in my career path too, because if I don't know what I'm here for and what I am and what I'm trying to say, I have nothing to do. So I will share with you that I work another program, and my sponsor in the other program, in the midst of all of this, sort of suggested that I write a love letter to myself, which is the worst suggestion she could have made. It's so uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me to tell you that. It's uncomfortable for me to hear her say it. But I'm willing. And so I did that exercise, and surprisingly, it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. I did have to sort of project what I would say to someone else to a dear friend of mine, but like, however we get there, we get there. But what I got from it was really profound. I saw myself writing in a very sort of simple and easy way things that I love about myself and things that that are core ways for me to identify. And it struck me as like, oh, even when I'm lost, even when I think that I need to have a bigger answer than I have, like, this is a starting ground. Like, this is a really solid starting ground. And also not something I would have gotten to without help from you guys and help from the people that are working these programs. So let me see if there's anything else that I want to share about this. I'll just share that the way that I work this program today, which is the way that I show up for myself and for you guys, is I get to meetings. I get to, between my two programs, about 5 meetings a week. I have service positions at a number of those meetings. I have a sponsor. I have a couple sponsees. And my community, my closest friends are people from these rooms at this point now. And that just happened. I always had friends. I've been very, like, lucky to be surrounded by great people working and in my life. But you guys have managed to, like, creep in a layer closer than everyone else, which was really scary for me and is actually the best thing that's happened. And to the point now where I actually work for a fellow with fellows. And that has required me to show up in a whole different way, because all these things that I'm learning in the rooms and things about myself and ways to be honest and authentic in the rooms, thank you, like, now the assignment is to go out into the world and bring it out there, and that's much scarier because this is a very safe, soft-feeling bubble. But, like, step by step, very slowly, I'm getting the practice of going out into the world and sharing a little bit more and being a little bit more authentic. And I will tell you that what I'm getting back in response is blowing my mind. It's amazing. It is absolutely a case to continue doing it. So I'm really grateful to have been asked to be here today. I'm excited to hear from you guys, and thank you so much. The meeting is now open for 3-minute pitches. Please focus your share on the topic and limit your sharing to 3 minutes to give others a chance. This session will end at approximately 6:55 p.m. Suiting up and showing up. Yeah, Kate. I don't know. I guess we could pass the mic around if you want. I guess it's optional. Sorry?
People came up to the other meeting, so right. No.
Hi, I'm Kate, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much. I'm so glad for this little meeting at 6 o'clock. I just was remembering hearing suit up and show up when I first came to OA, and I was, you know, and I was pretty much in pajama pants all the time, and I learned that, like, people wear real clothes, like, out in the world. And especially as a compulsive overeater, you know, I just don't want any boundaries. Like, I don't want anything touching me. But, and, you know, I learned, like, no, you put on clothes, you put on makeup, you do your hair, you brush your teeth, you brush your hair, you know, whatever, you take a bath. You suit up. And then you show up. And sometimes showing up is the best I can do, because I'm such a perfectionist that I will use all those rules that I've self-imposed about what it means to suit up, and I'll use that as an excuse to not show up. And so it's such an interesting, like, it's just my head, my disease will just take any little useful piece of information and run with it until it's, like, destroys me. And so, like, sometimes I feel like the most faith happens when I just show up, like, no matter what, when I'm in my pajamas, when I haven't, like, taken a shower, and the last thing in the world I want to do is show up, and I show up anyway. Like, that's the leap of faith. And then, you know, it's been so amazing being here at the meeting. I don't know if I'm timing myself. I'll stop, but just seeing so many people suited up and showing up. So, anyway, thank you.
I'm Debbie. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
I first came to OA in 2003 and 4. For 2 years, I showed up, but I never got a sponsor or worked the steps, so I never got recovery. And then I came back in 2010, and suiting up and showing up is pretty much the only thing I've done perfectly in this program. When I come to meet, I have never left a meeting and say, oh, that sucked, I wish I didn't go today. You know, when I don't want to go and I go anyway, you know, I just leave there feeling so good because I go into a room and I'm just with my family. Even if I don't know you, I feel like we're family. And I don't get that feeling at home with my own family. You know, OA has become more of a family to me. I mean, I love my family, but I want to love them from a distance. You know, it just works. And I live with my daughter and my two grandkids, so I kind of don't get that distance, but I just get it here, you know. And so I go to a lot of meetings because I enjoy it. I feel better. It just nourishes my me. It just gives me a lot of sanity and nourishment, and I always feel good leaving a meeting. I've never left a meeting and said, oh, what an awful meeting. Never. You know, even if the meeting wasn't the best meeting, or that same girl that I can't stand listening to spoke and timer went off and she didn't shut her mouth. And you know, I still leave there feeling happy and glad I went. So I'm grateful for all the meetings I do go to. Even, and I'm in three programs. I'm only working the steps pretty much currently in this one for the third time. And I'm doing the Herkey workshop. So now that I've been really diving into the big book, because I was really struggling this last year. For the first time, I have 4.5 years, and I was down 113 pounds, and then I put back 20, and I don't know, it's always my spiritual side that's lacking when that happens, and so I just need to, go to more meetings and really get into the big book more, and, 'cause I've had all the miracles, and I've had the spiritual awakenings, and I want them again, and I'm gonna get them again. So thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Annie P., and I'm a grateful member of OA. And I'm glad I suited up and showed up today, and I really appreciate your share. I wrote myself a note to write a love letter to myself, and I'm going to share that with my fellows. I have shared that with some sponsees, but I ain't never did it. I told them to do it, and I ain't never did it. But, you know. Anyway, yeah, man, I'm just grateful. I didn't have the finances to come to the birthday party, and I had shared it at a meeting. And my sponsee, one of my sponsees was there. And after the meeting, she pulled me to the side and handed me $100 and said, go to the birthday party, have yourself something to eat. And God let me come here to suit up and show up. And I'm expecting some great things out of this weekend. Today I facilitated a workshop this afternoon, and I knew I was going to be tired. And I said, well, I'll go Friday, I'll go Sunday, Saturday I'll go home and rest. Some said, come and suit up and show up. So I'm here, and I'm expecting some great things because I suited up and showed up. And I already got a nugget from you, so I know that everywhere I go tonight, I'm going to get me some nuggets. So I'm just grateful for this program. I'm grateful for our tools. The option to have them to use. I don't always use them, but at least I have the option. Whereas before I didn't have any tools at all, but now at least I know I have them. And every time I use my tools, they work. The program works. If you work it. So I'm just thanking God that a day at a time, I only have to take it a day at a time. And sometimes a day is too much. I can take it by the day part and even for the moment. And I'm just so grateful for the tools. I was a Christian when I first came to the 12-step program, and there's something wrong with a 325-pound Christian. Somebody ain't turning something over. So you have to really have a personal relationship with God. Some things I would give to him. Everything else I'm trying to handle on my own. But I'm learning through this program step by step how to turn things over, how to live in acceptance. That was the most powerful thing I have learned so far in this program, acceptance. I ain't always there every day, but at least it's in my mind And I can remind myself I have to accept persons, places, situations, and circumstances because I am powerless. I can't do nothing about nothing because I can't do nothing about my own life. So how in the hell can I do something about somebody else's life? You know what I'm saying? So I'm just grateful. Y'all keep coming back because I sure am.
Hi, I'm Elisa, compulsive overeater and bulimic. Thank you so much for your share. I got so much out of it. That was fabulous. Suiting up and showing up. I guess the just walking into a meeting for me is the best I can do right now. I've been in the rooms for 3.5 years. I'd lost 60-something pounds, and life got big, probably really uncomfortable and scary. And I've slowly dissipated in my meetings, my morning step work, my letters to God every morning. And I used to share all the time, like that grounded me. When I first came in, I didn't want to shower every day. When I first came in, I wasn't making my bed. My house was a mess. Stuff was everywhere. I was in a complete state of disarray. And that's what I knew. I was in drama. I lived in chaos. And that was comfortable because it's what I grew up in. And when I started coming, I started learning new ways to live my life. And I gave so much up to God that I was able to move on. And then it got big again, and I maybe just started taking back my will. And so I'm just coming back again after, like, being out of the rooms for several months. It's so hard to come back. It's scary again, and it's hard. And one thing you said I really resonated with, and that's outside these rooms, I'm a little lost. And in here, I'm with family, and I'm with people that I relate to, and I get that connection here. And I'm so grateful that I've been able to suit up and show up again without so much fear that it keeps me away from the rooms. And so I guess, like, I'm standing up and sharing because it's uncomfortable and because that's how I suit up and I show up. I participate. I participate in my own recovery. I admit where it's hard. And this is all hard again. Like, I haven't been out of the rooms that long, and it just feels like it's been a lifetime of letting go of my own abstinence. Not that I haven't broke my abstinence, but my behaviors I feel like I have. And so I'm making my bed again in the morning, and I'm like back to the basics, and I'm like making sure I'm showered and dressed and, you know, self-care, taking my meds in the morning, showing up at a meeting, writing to God in the morning. That's how I suit up and show up. And it's just like little baby steps, and I'm not doing it like every day, and I feel fraudulent. I shouldn't share. I'm a fraud. I'm not doing it all the time. I'm not doing this great. I'm not doing it right. And that's just how I beat myself up and take myself away from my connection, my relationship with God. Like, I have no right to beat myself up. I shouldn't be judging myself. That's the only shit I like to say. I shouldn't judge myself. Just live and let live, be in acceptance, and go to God. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Liz, compulsive overeater, bulimic.
Hi, Liz.
And restrictor. Thank you so much for your share. Thank you for being here. It's so interesting because before program, I rarely showed up. I mean, not only to places and for people, I wasn't present ever. I couldn't be. I didn't know how. So I was either thinking about something that hurt me in the past, worrying about something that might happen in the future, or obsessing over my body, food, meals, plans, dieting. And that's what my life, that was the only thing that was in my life. And I'm so grateful I can be here today because I feel like it's a little gift I'm giving to myself every time I show up for something. And not just program, but because of program, I get to show up for my life now. And my life gets beautiful in so many ways because I understand how to now. How to be present when I'm with someone. How to be present for myself. How to differentiate hunger. Like, for example, I was in my seat and I got excited because I felt hunger. And I can tell you years went by before I ever felt this feeling, along with all the other feelings, you know. I didn't know what it was like to identify fear or sadness or loneliness or being tired. I didn't know any of that. And so a lot of what gets me through to the point to show up is you hear a lot of people in the room say, act as if. Act as if God's going to show up for you and move along. You know, stop thinking about it. Like, I'm so good at rationalizing and reasoning and thinking, and, you know, that usually just gets me into trouble. It's like I'll talk myself into eating something, but I'll talk myself out of meditating. Like, it's my job. And so if I act as if, God shows up. And that I've been having to use that a lot lately because I'm struggling, even though, thank God, I'm abstinent 2.5 years. I am dipping into sugar, thank God, not like I used to. But after 2 years of not eating sugar or flour, I am dipping into it again. And I have to remind myself to be grateful that it's not like it used to be, but I'm heading into dangerous zones. And what that has done is I've gained weight, and I'll wrap up. And when I gain weight, I'm in fear and body image obsession, and I don't want to show up. I don't want people to see me, especially family. I haven't gone to see my grandma because I don't want her to comment on my body. So the alienation and the isolation starts creeping in. I get angry, and I get irritable, and I get sad. So I've been having to use the act as if to show up for my birthday party, you know, to show up on a date, to show up here, to wear clothes, act as if you're going to look beautiful. And so I put on clothes. But I feel like through the steps and through the program, not only do I get to give the gift of myself a program, but also of life. And life gets pretty and bigger and sweeter. And so suiting up and showing up is a huge part. And I'm grateful that we got to share in it today.
Hi, Adrienne Overeater Bulimic.
Hi,
Adrienne. Thank you so much for your share. I love the love letter too. It just sounds very romantic. And I too feel lost outside of the rooms. And I feel, even though I have a bunch of years in AA, I feel much more a part of in here, even though I completely, obviously, qualify for the other. Suiting up and showing up. If I do all of the tools, the coming to the meeting, the taking the time in the morning to write, the getting on my knees, then, like, my life is so much better. And if I don't, before I know it, I'm spinning out, and I start going, what's going on? And then it's like my sponsor uses this term, and she says, to lean into program. She's like, and I also get the feeling of, like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And she goes, you do know what to do. You've done this before. I'm coming off of a year where I had relapse. I'd lost all of my weight, and I was feeling like a real beacon of OA, and but the truth is that my father bribed me, and I needed money, and he gave me $500 for every pound I lost. So when I lost 42 pounds, it really helped us out of a lot of debt. And so then I reached that goal, and then I just kind of started fucking around with the food again. And in a period of a year, I've, you know, put back on 30-some pounds. So I'm back on track. But you know what? I just, like, I've been with this food thing my whole life. I'm 51, and so there's a part of me that never trusts. I feel like it will never go away. Well, it won't ever go away. And I know there's a way to arrest it, and it's in these rooms. And it depends on how willing I am, if I really want to do that or not. because, and it is a lot of work, but it's also a lot of work the other way. Like thinking about food all the time, being depressed about not being able to fit in your clothes, you know, missing life because you're just in the food, or, you know, like having a hangover because you've thrown up the food, or it's terrible. So even when I think like, oh, this isn't so great, if I think about the specifics of how it is when I'm not doing this, it's so different. And so the thing I'm trying to do now, because for a long time I've been able to be really nice to everybody in these rooms, but I'll still be like a raging bitch with my husband, or really bossy and controlling with my child. And so I've just finished my fourth step, so I'm seeing lots of my parts of things. So I'm really trying my best to apply it to the rest of my life. And I'll wrap up with this. I've been here since 10 this morning, and I'm, like, tired, and I'm going to go home after this. But I'm, like, nervous because and I, you know, I'm coming back tomorrow, and I also go to a meeting every day. I just do because I feel better. But it's this weird feeling of, like, okay, I'm stepping out of the cocoon, and I'm going back to real life. And it's like I have to go, you know what? I'm bringing all of you with me. God is with me. And, like, you know, nobody set our program on fire. It's not going away. It's here. So, anyway, but what a great experience these convention things are. Thanks for letting me share.
No pressure. My name is Catherine, and I am a grateful compulsive overeater. And I heard that from our region two person when I first came into OA, and I thought, what in the world? But I love it now, and I am grateful. I'm also Al-Anon, and I like to say I'm powerless over food, people, places, and things, and that's new to me. So, negativity, and, wow, I am so negative. Oh, I could be so horrible in my head. And then I learned from these rooms, from meetings, from beginning. I came in 2007 in April, and I weighed in 300 pounds, over 300 pounds. I'd had a horrible car accident, a horrible surgery. And I went to my doctor. I needed to get my health right. I needed to get my head straight. And I came into a meeting, and I wanted what you all had. I wanted serenity, and I wanted good health. If the weight came down, so be it. I thought 50 pounds, and I'd feel skinny. Oh, it'd be great. So I went to some meetings later on, and they said no negative self-talk. And I said, what a fantastic idea. And so I stuck with that. And I looked in the mirror and I said, you are fantastic. And, you know, I said, stop talking to yourself like a child who spilled milk. You would talk to yourself like, oh, that's okay, honey. So I started doing that. And I've continued with that. But sometimes I get into the, oh, and the rages and the horribles, you know. And I heard about people talking to God. And I thought, well, how in the heck am I going to do that? Well, you know, four months in, I said, I don't believe. I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. But I said, you know, I'm going to give it a try. I'll try. You know, they tell me you have to find God. So I said, well, I'm going to go to the one that Grandma gave me. She had me baptized. I'm going to give it a try. So I did, and I started going to church. And, you know, I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll find some guy who will like to marry me. Maybe I'll get skinny or something. But that didn't work. It wasn't about that. It was about finding higher power. And it started to work for me. Well, I've been in program for 7 years this time around, going on eight. And I talked to somebody here at these meetings, and you know, called on the phone, and it was a guy, and he's, you know, works a really great program. And I said, you know, it's not working for me. It's just not working for me. He said, Catherine, you could be at step 9, but if your step 2 isn't working for you, you need to redo step 2. I was like, again? That's why I left. I mean, I was 13, 14 when I came in. I came back in my 20s. I thought, how did I highlighted that brand new 12 and 12 in 1982? I graduated. You know what? It worked. Last year it worked. Found a higher power. Fantastic. He, she, it doesn't matter. I looked at all the different religions and I said, you know what? It's great. Am I done? So that's how it works for me. I quit hating my family. They're fantastic. I love everybody. I quit with the negative self-talk. And I said, you know, it works. This program works if you get a higher power that works for you and you work the steps. And I quit with all that negative self-talk to myself. And I love what you had to share with us. I thank you so much and what everybody else has to say here. And I actually have a sponsor that we are in agreement about, you know, higher powers and sponsoring, and I sponsor many people and from around the world, and it's fantastic. This program really works, and so I thank you all for being here today, and I take you with me. Thanks.
It's now time to close this session. I would like to thank those of you who gave service at the session and for all of you attending. After a moment of silence, please join hands and we will close with the OA promise.
Roseanne's.
Oh, okay.
But, it's never really showed up in the meetings that I go to.